It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about Mothers Against Drunk Driving's National Day of Remembrance.
First, a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California yesterday took the lives of 14 people, with more than 20 injured. The attack came just days after a gunman in Colorado Springs killed three people and injured nine others.
There have been more than 350 mass shootings so far this year in America. That's up significantly from previous years. While the loss of any human life is always tragic, the steady drumbeat of mass shootings has some people worried that the emotional impact is being diminished by constant media exposure. So are we, as Americans, becoming desensitized to gun violence and mass shootings?
Charles Figley is with us now. He's a professor of psychology and disaster mental health at Tulane University, as well as the director of the Tulane Traumatology Institute. Charles, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Rob.
So, Charles, we see a story like this that are horrible, but there's also this growing sense, I think a lot of people have expressed this, oh, this again, or oh, not again, something like that. Do you think with these stories happening again and again, we're starting to become in some way desensitized?
Yes. Next question? No. Of course. Yes, without a doubt. But the thing that troubles me is that they seem to be getting worse and worse. The most deadly one was Sandy Hook, in which children were mowed down. I mean, it's just really remarkable. And now we find that these two folks had planned it very carefully, and there is some connection, at least internationally. So, you know, you can become desensitized when the same thing happens, but you're at a state of alert when things actually are starting to get worse. So we have to understand desensitization in the following way. We all have to take care of ourselves some way. And if we are sensitive to every threat around us, we're doomed. Particularly if you live in Israel or Northern Ireland or in the inner city, it's a war zone there. So you can't really let your guard down. And I think what's happening is, if it could happen at a Planned Parenthood, there's a Planned Parenthood in my town. If it can happen in a place that takes care of disabled citizens, that happens everywhere. So I think we need to sort of get our arms around the fact that we're living in a more dangerous world, whether we perceive it to be so or not. It's just the facts are there.
It seems like, on the one hand, it's probably unhealthy to constantly watch a story like this and wallow in it and in the tragedy. On the other hand, it seems like we lose something if we don't feel some of that every time this happens.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that there is this worry that we'll become so desensitized that we'll just take it for granted and move on. There is this balance, as you say. Both of my daughters have my granddaughters. Their life is surrounded by nap times and soccer practice and things like that. And when things outside of their world invade them, they have great strategies for keeping them at bay. So we have to give them credit. When they need to, they can separate themselves. I've studied combat veterans since the 1970s, actually. And other combat veterans and other people have been in highly stressful events. The people that survive are those people that can compartmentalize. But in addition to compartmentalizing and getting through it, you have to also process it. And that's what is difficult, because we still can't get our arms around the fact that someone would take a life at Planned Parenthood, especially connected to people who believe that they're saving life. It's so ironic. So we have to sort of process that and try to figure that out. And then this happens. And maybe I'm just a pessimist, but it seems like it's a Paris-type attack. So we cannot desensitize from that. We're super sensitive to it. And you're right, you can't go on and on being sensitive. We have a whole field called psychoneuroimmunology that talks about the connection between stress and the immune system. So that's not healthy at all. But I think sometimes, like with 9/11 and other events, we have to take a collective breath and recognize that all of us, whether we're young or old, black or white, we're in the same boat when it comes to this most recent violence. And my hope is that somehow, as Americans, as Californians, whatever way we connect to these survivors, that we feel that now is the time to come together to solve these differences. You know, if this is the case, I hope it's not. I hope I'm totally incorrect. But if it is, then all of the other incidences that have happened are kind of pale in comparison, because in effect, this is kind of an act of war. Now, again, I may be totally wrong, and I hope that's the case, but it illustrates the battle inside of us in terms of wanting, on the one hand, to feel safe and secure, but on the other hand, not be desensitized and not, you know, rise up. But fortunately or unfortunately, the history of human beings is a, I guess, is a quilt, if you will, of you get excited about something and you want to do something about it, and then it fades away. So we all have to kind of keep our eyes on the ball in this one, because, you know, there could be a significantly more anxiety that will break through any of our defenses. Am I making sense? I apologize if I'm,
definitely.
I'm seeming too hysterical, but I've studied trauma all over the world, and it's not that I want trauma to happen, but mm-hmm. it's kind of a familiar territory with me. And bad things happen during wars in part because people are traumatized and afraid. Now, why we encamped Japanese Americans who were doing nothing to us during World War II, and the further away we get from that, the more we forget our treatment of Native Americans. I mean, we can go on and on, but my point here is that there is the first shock of being attacked, or the second shock of our fellow citizens attacking other fellow citizens simply because of the color of their skin or their potential origin or you know what I'm saying, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Charles Figley with Tulane University. He's director of the Tulane Traumatology Institute, talking about how we as citizens, as media consumers, react to whether we're getting desensitized to things like mass shootings. And Charles, I wanted to ask, a lot of people talk about the importance of social connectedness in recovering from trauma, either participants yeah. in a trauma themselves or from those of us watching in the media. And I think the way a lot of people track an event like this is sitting alone at a computer or holding your yeah. phone as an individual. Are there ways to try to, you use the phrase, I think, come together in a reaction to an event like this?
Absolutely, yes. When we're faced with a traumatic event, especially when we're not really quite sure what's happening, we ask some fundamental questions. All of us do in different ways. And whether we invoke God or not, it's what happened, why did it happen, why is this happening, should we be doing something, and if it happens again, what do we do? You know, that kind of idea. And we don't just think about ourselves, we think of other people. So as we are hand-wringing, if you will, about the answers to those questions, it's so tremendously wonderful to be connected to somebody else who's also hand-wringing, if you will, who also is trying to answer those questions. So even at the time in which a traumatic event is unfolding, yes, there's a focus on surviving, but there is an eye on other people in terms of, are they going to be an enemy? Are they going to be supportive? One quick example, when we're in an elevator and the elevator shakes, if there's another occupant, there's a 99.9% probability that they will look the person in the eye because they want to know immediately if they should do something about it. And that's what we're going through, I think, right now. We're all looking each other in the eye and saying, you know, should we be worrying about our neighbors? Should we be worrying about sedans that have black windows? And no is the answer. And if this is terrorism, and even if it isn't, if it's in the middle of war, obviously the enemy wants to undermine our confidence, wants to undermine our connections. So the best thing we could do as Americans, irrespective of whether this is connected to some international plot or not, is to join hands metaphorically. And if you're in front of a computer, send a tweet. I sent a couple of messages out just to make people laugh. There's a counterbalancing. We have to take a breath. We have to think, you know, in logical terms, in loving and godly ways, rather than in revenge and anger and, you know, trying to support my family. The ironic thing is that all I heard in a drumbeat when I went to bed last night, after looking at as much as I could before falling asleep, is the drumbeat against guns. This is the worst time to talk about we need to take guns away from people, because obviously people are afraid and their reassurance is guns. And we may not like that, but that's reality. And that's the kind of thing that the decisions that leaders have to make during these troubled times. Are they going to take the high road and think for the country, or are they going to think in their own best interests?
Yeah, one of our regular journalism guests actually had tweeted he's worried because the reaction time between the initial news of an event like this and people spinning it to their own political agenda, he thought, keeps getting shorter and shorter all the time. Should we try to take that breath, step back, not send that political, maybe partisan tweet or message out there right as things are still unfolding?
Well, you and I and the rest of your listeners will do that, but unfortunately, there are a lot of people that don't listen to National Public Radio, to public radio, rather. I would hope that would be the case. I mean, that's what we train. We have a Disaster Resilience Leadership Academy here at Tulane, and we train these master students in just doing that, of recognizing, being able to tell if you're upset, being able to take your own pulse. Take a deep breath immediately, because you're definitely going to feel better even just taking a breath, but then to recognize that you're not at your best, and that you need to make very critical decisions when you have thought it through, and definitely when you talk to other people. But I want to get back to what you were saying in terms of a sense of community. We did a study in Israel in which we interviewed and or surveyed the world's leaders in disaster resilience. And there are others outside of Israel, but we definitely could find 16. Over and over again, what they emphasized wasn't necessarily talking about Israelis, but to the question of what makes a difference, what is an axiom of surviving a traumatic event, it's connections to the community. It's a sense of responsibility for all for one and one for all. Of any differences that were at the time of the traumatic event should be ironed away, as they say, for as long as possible. To recognize we're all in the same boat. And so we have, technically, in terms of research and publications, experts in trauma resilience who lived in Israel all their life, and they say it's community. I think it really behooves all of us to see what we can do. My hope, for example, if this is the case, that we would all spontaneously show up downtown and start singing songs of togetherness and support and patriotism and things like that, rather than let's get the people who we think are the enemies.
It's a good place to leave
Sorry,
it, Charles.
Sorry again if I'm being melodramatic.
That's fine. Thank you so much for joining us today, Charles.
You're welcome. Thanks, Rob.
That's Charles Figley, Professor of Psychology and Disaster Mental Health at Tulane University, Director of the Tulane Traumatology Institute. He joined us to discuss how we respond to things like mass shootings in America, whether or not we're becoming desensitized to them.